Warning, things are about to get intense. Like when you stare into the eyes of someone that you really like for a full minute straight without blinking. Intense! Intense heat! Lasting plump! From the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. Formulated with chili pepper! Lifter Plump delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades. Honestly, my favorite is hot honey and cocoa zing. I put it on my lips and honestly, it did sizzle them. It sizzled them right to the moon. They were plump and juicy and everyone was like, Nicole, can I? And I'm like, get in line. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Why Won't You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though you could cut even though you could cut up all of my clothes and say, tee-hee-hee, it's now confetti. I go, okay, thank you. My guest today, oh boy, I'm so excited, is an actress, a comedian, co-founder of the New York Arab American Comedy Festival and the Muslim Funny Fest. Her TED Talk, I Got 99 Problems, Palsy Is Just One, was the number one TED Talk of a 24. It's Maysoon Zayed. Did I say your last name right?
Yes, you did, which is amazing.
I did it. I practiced. I was like, I can't fuck this up. Maysoon, thank you.
I was trying to distract you. I was sailing a kitten in front of the camera to see if I could throw you off. But you are a pro. You are unflappable, Nicole.
Thank you. I was just, I don't know. I move around a lot, so I don't. It's not distracting for me. I'm always just like, I'm just moving.
You're going to make me very still.
Maysoon, how did you get into comedy?
Hollywood rejected me. They hate disabled people. They were just like, no, we only like to show disabled people who are miraculously healed on the red carpet. Mm-hmm. If you are disabled, you better not be darker than a paper bag. So I was like trying to find someone in the media who looked like me. Who did I find? Which is hilarious. Richard Pryor. Ah. Shaking. Ambulatory wheelchair user. Darker than a paper bag. Funny as fuck. And I was like, I'll become a comedian. And then I'll do a movie with Gene Wilder.
I love it. I love it. What a fabulous plan. We met, I guess, 2 years ago at this point, or maybe 3 years ago. I don't know. Time is irrelevant.
Where did we meet?
We met at a Hello Sunshine show.
Yes.
Yeah. And you were fucking annihilated. Like, it was such a joy to watch you. And I love that, like, one of the first things you say is just like, don't fucking feel sorry for me. Yeah. And then everyone's like, well, oh, she knows. She and they were like, well, we don't know what to do now. But I just love that you like disarm them and then fucking everything you said.
Should we tell the audience why people feel sorry for me?
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right. So, like, because right now they're like, maybe they Googled me and they're like, she looks like the lost Kardashian. Like, that ain't bad. Like, what's wrong? She's maybe a little drunk looking. So 99 Problems with Palsy is just one. The joke that I do on stage is in the Oppression Olympics, I'd win a gold medal. I'm Palestinian. I'm Muslim. I'm a woman of color. I'm disabled. I'm divorced. And I live in Jersey. But I think that what you were talking about is the fact that I'm disabled. And like, people always feel bad for disabled people, but they also feel really good for themselves. Like, people love seeing a disabled person and being like, you know what? My life ain't that bad. Like, I have people walk up to me and be like, you are so brave. If I was you, I would kill myself.
That's so fucked
and
up.
And I'm like, I'm from Jersey and I may kill you because no one will find you in the Meadowlands. And I'm flappy.
That's so fucked up that people feel like they have the right or just the privilege to be able to say that to somebody.
But like, you know, that's not an exaggeration.
No, I absolutely know. Yeah. Like, I'm just, as a fat person going to the gym, sometimes they'll be like, oh my God, I'm so proud of you. I'm like, you don't fucking know me. Get out of here with that bullshit.
I love when people are proud of me, because anytime like a random person is like, I'm really proud of you, I'm like, because I ate a turtle. And they're like, what? Wait, what just happened? Because, but in all seriousness, one of the things that I talk about a lot is that, like, I grew up without social media. And I really think that if I grew up with social media, I wouldn't be doing the work I'm doing. Because, like, if I was in dancing school getting standing ovations, I thought I was dope. I thought I was good. I didn't know they were clapping because I was a cripple on point. Dancing to Wind Beneath My Wings. I just like Bette Midler. I didn't realize I was inspirational. But like, if a video like that went viral and every freaking person commenting talked about crying, oh, who chopped the onions? Like, no, I'm fucking talented. Why are you crying? Why am I inspirational? Why are you proud? You have nothing to do with my achievement. Are you entertained? Because that's what I'm actually trying to do. I'm like a fucking gladiator.
I didn't even fucking think about that. Like, the Instagram comments of people being like, this is inspiring. Like, thousands of people just being like, this made me cry. And it's like, well, it's just, you know, a person dancing, a person expressing themselves. If a person without a disability didn't make you cry, why does the person with a disability make you cry?
You know which one is really telling? When they're like, captain of the football team takes wheelchair user to the prom. And people are like, I hope my son's like that. And I'm like, how about the wheelchair user is probably a lot more dope. And like, he's lucky she let him be her date. And like, the assumption that like, it's always a favor, you know, and that like, it's merciful to just like, let us die.
It's so fucked up. Also, you said in the TED Talk, which I fucking love, it is so simple, but people don't understand it. It is,
if a wheelchair user can't play Beyonce.
Yeah, Beyonce can't play a wheelchair user. And it's like, yes. Why is that such a, why is that such a weird, like, a thought or process? Like, it's so insane.
So it's a couple of different things. First of all, I chose Beyonce because she can slay everything. And I wanted to like choose someone who totally could do that, but shouldn't do that. Like, and won't, because she knows now. But like, I think that there's three factors. One, people genuinely don't believe we can do it. Like, the idea that we could act our own roles, that I could play a person with cerebral palsy, does not occur to them. And that's in the TED Talk. When I auditioned to play a girl with cerebral palsy and I didn't get it, they said I couldn't do the stunts. And I was like, well, if I can't do the stunts, neither can the fucking character. But A, they think we can't do it. B, Hollywood is supposed to be an escape. And it's okay to watch, you know, Sean Penn be Down syndrome, but then like be perfectly healed after he smacked the teeth out of, you know, Madonna on a red carpet. But they don't want to see disabled people who don't get healed because, quote unquote, normal people feel bad about themselves when they see a disabled person achieving something they can't. This has been told to me in meetings.
Oh, damn. That is... Honestly, that is so fucked up, but also it makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
And it's really fucked up.
So, like, I sold a TV show.
I saw that on Deadline. I was so excited.
Yeah, well, I was trying to write it, and they said to me, if she's too successful, she'll make normal people feel bad. And then I was like, someone hand me the kerosene and a match, because I'm burning this shit to the ground. And, like, they put my character, I have cerebral palsy. The resting position of the arms of most, we're not a monolith, but most people with CP, is that of a kangaroo. They put my character in pink boxing gloves so that, like, when she wanted to psych herself up, she was like a kangaroo in boxing gloves.
Oh,
they
had
her stand. They had her stand on the bow of a ferry and scream, I have cerebral palsy, like Leonardo DiCaprio from the Titanic. When when I, as a creator, my one instruction was, we are not writing the characters disabled. She is because I am. Mm-hmm. And, like, now I'm on General Hospital. I'm just like a recurring character because I'm a comic and I can't be there all the time. But, like, that character is not written as disabled. She limps into the courtroom and nobody's like, she's limping, aren't you proud? Like, she's just... So I had actually instructed them that I wanted this character to not be about that, because in the sixth episode, I wanted her to try to go into a club and have a bouncer say, are you drunk? She says, no, I'm disabled. He goes, are you the R word? Says the R word, and she punches him. Mm-hmm. And that was supposed to be the moment in the series where we watched her and we're like, oh shit, did you see what they just said to the girl we love? The idea was to create a character that you either wanted to fuck or be friends with. And they said, if she's too successful, normal people will feel bad. You freak, without saying you freak.
But it's implied.
And so I have no TV show, but I'm on your podcast. And that's like adjacent to a TV show on like TBS.
I mean, honestly, you just talking through that arc is like entertaining, and I fucking want to see it. Do you know?
Like, I
want to see that. I want to see her fucking own her power in a way where she's not standing screaming about her disability, but she's just like, go fuck yourself. And it's like, I'm powerful this way because I can stand up for myself. Goddamn.
I had her in the love triangle. They stripped her down to pining after someone she's liked since she was five that doesn't see her. I had her in the like steamy love triangle because that's what people want to see Muslims do. Come on, admit it.
Yeah, give it to me. Give me all that shit.
Lost Kardashian Muslim vibrates. That's what they want. But no, the TV show thought they wanted me to be meek.
That's insane to like literally take a meeting with you and be like, this woman will be meek. Like, I met you for like 5 seconds and was like, oh my God, this woman is full of fucking joy and energy.
This was like one of the most cathartic moments of my life that you just said that. Seriously, like, sorry to have a moment on your show, but like, that's what I'm always thinking. Like, people sign me up for shit and then they're like, wait, she's not going to fold herself into a pretzel and change her name to Diamond and Silk. And I'm like, do I look like a Candace Owens to you? Because I'm not. Like, that's who they think I am. And I think it's because they broke so many stronger people. Mm-hmm. Like, look what happened with Fresh Off the Boat. Look what happened with like Margaret Cho. Mm-hmm. So many people of color went in. They were told, if you don't do it this way, it doesn't get done.
Mm-hmm.
And they bent to it because I remember people being like, you ain't gonna walk away. And I was like, Dave Chappelle walked away. And they're like, you ain't Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, but you're a person with like values and shit. And it's like, why put something out in the world that like doesn't feel good?
Because I'm disabled, and in the United States of America, that's so expensive. I have like one goal in life, and that's to keep my ass out of an institution nursing home, disabled living. Mm-hmm. So being able to do a TV show that pays me like $65,000 an episode would have created the nest egg so a nice woman named Lydia could come and wash my hair on Thursdays. But instead, I was like, I will not be your monkey.
You'll get Lydia some other way.
like falling on a sidewalk crack and suing the owners.
I mean, there's this man who rides a bicycle every day on my street, and I keep thinking I want to like throw something at him or fall down so he like falls in love with me. So I'm right there with you, falling on cracks, trying to get people's attention and shit. Maysoon, are you single?
I am. I got divorced after 10 years in September.
Wow.
It's very interesting because prior to getting married, I could only date Palestinians. My parents didn't care what religion they were, but my dad said he'd throw himself off the George Washington Bridge if it wasn't a Palestinian. I had watched Law and Order too many times, floating bys didn't want it. So I married a Palestinian because I had to. And so I had to be a virgin because that was like a big thing back in the day, like now not so much, but back in the day. And so now this is the first time I can date whoever I want. And this is the first time that like, I don't have to be like, no, you can't kiss me unless I have a diamond from Tiffany's. And I hate people so much. So I don't know how to approach it. Like, I don't know how to approach it. You know, it's been great being on tour for 10 years. And like, you know, these really gorgeous people would come up to me and I'd be like, I'm sorry, I'm married. And now I'd just be like, I'm sorry. I don't like effort. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't think I'm good at it, but like, I have to date because 80% of Americans said they wouldn't date a disabled person. So like, I'm the queen of the disco stands for disability community disco. And like, I have to be a role model. So I think I need to date someone like ridiculously out of my league so that disabled people are like, it can be done.
What an insane survey. Like, also,
unfuckable are you?
Yeah. Like, are you at the Grove and someone comes up to you and like, would you date a disabled person? They're like, no. Like,
at the Grove, they would say yes because of the parking. They'd be like, I would totally do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I get to park a little closer. Give that to me.
I lived on Hollywood and Gardner from 2006 to 2009. And I convinced every parking attendant at the Grove that disabled people parked for free. And it was completely untrue and no one ever charged me. I owe the Grove like $600.
That's so fucking... I love it. I truly love shit like that where you're just like, I don't know. I guess I'll just lie to you because you're not going to follow up on it.
And it's not money out of your pocket. There's 1,000 cars in here. I'm a struggling actress, and by struggling I mean I struggle because I have palsy.
Where do you live now? Are you in Jersey
forever? Yeah, so I have a house in Palestine, but it's like a little like mommy there.
Sure.
And but I'm Jersey. I'm born and raised in Jersey. I'm a shore rat. I live right next to the George Washington Bridge. I'm waiting for Broadway to open. Like, I'm scratching my veins. I'm Jersey.
Sometimes I miss Jersey. I'm from Jersey too. I'm from Central Jersey, Middletown.
Central doesn't exist. It's really just north or south.
I know.
So just, I want to like quick funny Jersey thing. On Friday, I got to meet with the Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, because that's how I roll. And like, you're supposed to be respectful. And I literally started the meeting by going, Tony, you know who I am. I'm from Jersey. I can't control my tone. And he was like, you know, so like, I literally preface meeting. People are always like, I can hear you. And I'm like, I know, I'm not trying to be loud. I just am. I'm speaking over smog. It's loud.
That's what I like about you. Like, you speak loud. You speak your mind.
You like a lot of stuff about me.
Yes, we're like friends.
Thank you. Namaste.
Yeah, it was just so fun, like, doing that show, listening to your stories. And then I think we went to dinner after.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was just, like, you're easy to be around.
And when we go to dinner, I would, like, tell the waiter, I'd be like, I need you to chew up my food and spit it in my mouth like a bird because I have no coordination.
You did say that, and the server truly was like, I don't know if this is real. Nobody else at the table is... saying that it's not true. It was so funny. And you were like, I'm kidding. And they were like, oh okay. So wait, are you on apps at all? Like, are you trying?
Like Twitter?
No.
Apps, like, no.
Like Tinder or Bumble. Like Twitter.
No. 7 different things. Number one, you get killed big when you're disabled on an online app. Like, okay. Big. They know we can't run. We're like the fucking wounded duck. And it's just the kill. I'm in the Meadowlands, full circle. Number two, I'm highly desirable. Like, half of Saudi Arabia wants to own me. And then, like, the rest of the world, like, I have high stock. Mm-hmm. A lot of people actually want to date me. I don't know what to say. I know that's disturbing to people. But, like, really decent, like, wealthy. Money's not a thing for most people. For me, we talked about the assisted living. It is.
You got to get Lydia. Lydia's got to come wash your hair on Thursdays.
Lydia's coming somehow. Like, we got to get a Lydia. And also, like, I don't know if you know, like, I'm really blessed and lucky to be, like, a successful comic. And, mm-hmm. like, I did the thing where I dated guys who made less money and I didn't want them to feel bad. So I'd pay their way to shit I could afford. I'm done with that. Like, you can either afford what I can afford or it's probably not going to work, but that's shallow. But, like, yeah, I don't need apps because literally I have, like, a list of emails of guys who are like, saw on Facebook you got divorced. My net worth is $831 million. I have, like, a pizza conglomerate in San Luis Obispo. So it's just me having to do it. And, like, right now I'm still, like, in some weird limbo between COVID and my career just being, like, so dope that I don't know if I want that kind of ball and chain.
All right. Fair.
And I have a cat.
I mean, what a treat. I wish my inbox was flooded with the men's wanting me. It's dry. It's real dried up.
You know what it is? So my cerebral palsy is different than everyone. Like, some of us are wheelchair users. Some of us are nonverbal. I shake all the time. So mm-hmm. I'm literally like a vibrating bed. And I look like the lost Kardashian. So even though I'm fluffy, it's like they're like, she vibrates. She looks like the lost Kardashian. And even her mouth shakes. Like, I am what men want.
Oh boy, I really fucking love that imagery. Like, a man would just, like, lose his mind being like, wait, so your mouth will shake if I put something in it? If I just put maybe something of mine in there, it's just gonna shake.
I'm like, it just naturally slacks. It's just slack. Like, I have a slack jaw.
Real quick, we have to take a break. One in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel, the science-based language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Guess what? I love to travel. And honestly, traveling is better when you can speak the local language. So, ordering food, asking for directions, or just saying, me encanta Poppy, I think I said I love you, Daddy. Anyway, people just treat you better when you speak their language. Plus, it's nice not having to consult language apps while on vacation because I'm having fun in the sun. Here's a special limited time deal for listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only from my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get 55% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm like, what? You? I feel like
I just want to get a job. Like, I've never had 2.5 minutes of stand-up on any late night show. And every Arab or Muslim comic I've trained in my life, because me and my friend Dino Bidala founded this thing called the New York Arab American Comedy Festival post 9/11 combat images of Arabs and Muslim in media. Every freaking comic I have ever trained has gotten like their late night set. Mm-hmm. Except for me, no one will put me on because they think I'm inspirational. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm sitting here with you and you can't breathe. And I'm not even trying to crack you up. I'm just having like a conversation. Uh-huh. So like, I've never gotten a stand-up spot. I don't get a stand-up special. I don't get to be on anything. Like, I love grinding the grind and fighting the fight. But like, it gets tiring at some point to be like, really? Meghan McCain has a job and I'm in my basement.
I mean, it is pretty fucking wild because I feel like you've been in the game for such a long time.
20 years.
Yeah. 20 like years. Not even have a late night set is so wild to me.
I've been in the game 20 years. I had a book on the bestseller list for 6 weeks and the most viewed TED Talk of 2014. And I can't get 2.5 minutes of stand up on like Channel 12 local news on a Sunday.
I mean, it's so wild to me. It's just so weird, like, when you find somebody who's, like, talented and then, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like the things that make you an other make you also very special. Because it's, like, you're not so much of an other that, like, someone's not going to understand what you're talking about.
Because I'm Jersey. Because, like, inherently, I'm relatable.
Yeah, you're very relatable. And it's funny, in the beginning of the TED Talk, you kind of watch people be like, I don't know if I'm allowed to laugh. I don't know if it's okay. And then I think it's the Jersey joke is when people are like, oh, ha ha ha, ah, ha, ha, ha. Not only do I feel it's okay to laugh, I like genuinely like what I'm watching. I don't know. It's tough.
So I love comedy. Like, I love doing comedy. Mm-hmm. It's not hard for me. I'm never scared. I always step on that stage and I'm like, yay. But like, throughout my career, I've understood really quickly, like, the amount of fear that people have for who I am and the amount of hate, just like deep, deep loathing they have for who I am. And that the ability to go on stage and see a person just look at you with venom and then crack them up because you found like that one thing, that one thing. But when I'm like cracking up, these people, like, I'm not here to lecture you. I'm not here to change you. My job is to make people laugh. Mm-hmm. So I'm not the person that you're going to take to like get Trump voters to understand that Muslims are human. Like, that's not my jam. At all. So like, I know that people are scared when they look at me, but like, when I connect with those kind of people that I want to, I'm hoping that like the next three things they do in their life are better.
Yeah, I like that. What's like your ultimate, like, I don't know, what's your ultimate like job? Like, what do you, what's like
the View?
The
it's
View?
It's always been The View.
You would probably be really good on The View.
It's The View. I would be incredible on The View because, like, as I just said, I had a meeting with the State Department on Friday. That means that I can do the politics thing. You know, I'm a comic, so I'm quick on my feet. They have never in 21 years have a visibly disabled woman. Like, that's such an important conversation to have. Mm-hmm. And then honestly, for at least the past 6 years, they have had virulently anti-Islamic, anti-Arab commentators, mm-hmm. from Candace Cameron Bure to Meghan McCain, and, you know, like Abby Hansen liked to dabble in it. She wasn't like big on it, but they liked it. And I think it'd be incredible to have a strong Muslim voice sitting on that couch in these conversations that we've been excluded from for way too long. So The View is the ultimate job, because I love Oprah. I don't want the Oprah Ellen thing, because I don't want all the responsibility. I want like 20 minutes, not an hour.
Yeah, I don't think I could host my own talk show. That's like, that's too hard.
I can do anything you pay me for, like literally except for anal, but like anything else.
You just got to get some poppers.
No, I can't. Like, I'm very spastic. That shit will break right off.
Well, if there's any View producers who are listening to this podcast,
they're listening.
You know what you got to fucking do.
They know. And what I've been told is horrifying.
Wait, so, really?
Yes. I need to tell you the worst story ever. It's the worst story ever.
All right. I'm ready.
So in 2002, a year after 9/11, I did a PBS special called Arab American Stand Up. It was America at a crossroads post 9/11. Mm-hmm. So The View invited me and my partner in comedy crime, Dean Obidala, onto the show to talk about our appearance. Mm-hmm. Right before I went on, they bumped me and they replaced me with a Muslim woman comic who had been on stage 3 times, whose entire routine, and I have the clip, it's on YouTube, was stripping off her hijab and throwing it behind the couch.
Oh no.
And I was never invited back again.
Oh, fucking no. I mean, I don't understand why people are so afraid of hijabs. Like, it's just a piece of fucking clothing.
No. It's not that they're afraid of hijabs. The comic who replaced me's entire routine was stripping off a hijab and throwing it behind the couch. Like, I told jokes. Mm-hmm. She did that.
Yeah.
They bumped me for that. Like, what just happened?
It's funny because it's like, or not funny, it's like awful because it's like you tell jokes and then she was doing like a statement, like a
minstrel.
You know, yeah, for like a bunch of white people to be like, yeah, they don't even want to wear them.
So you'll love this because we're both fluffy. The whole joke was, you know, white, like Western men are always wondering what's under my hijab. And then she does the sexy strip and she's a big girl. Mm-hmm. And it's like not sexy. So on top of that, it was like some weird self-deprecating big girl thing. And I was like sitting there and like Vera Wang, like ready for my close-up. And I'm like, what the fuck? But I have one even better. It's really quick because I know we have to go and this isn't a therapy session. I was going on MSNBC and I was getting my makeup done and they bumped me and replaced me with Dean without warning him. But my makeup was half done and they had done like the really strong contours because I have olive skin. And if you don't, I'm green on screen. And so I asked the makeup artist if she could finish my makeup and she handed me wipes.
Wow. Yo, people are bold around you. Can you finish my makeup? I'm just going to give her wipes. I'm not going to finish it. And I'm not even going to take it off. I'm just going to have her do it. That's so wild.
But I win. Like, everyone's always, like, shoving me under the short bus. And, like, right now, thank God, like, God bless, I have a comic book series with Scholastic. Mm-hmm. I'm going out and shopping a docu-series, a road trip movie, and a Lifetime Christmas movie.
Yes, and so, like, bitch, I'm really, yes!
Like, and then, like, I became the queen of basement virtual comedy. Like, corporations love me. I'm, like, the Willy Wonka golden ticket. They check off every diversity box. Sometimes I feel like when I do corporate gigs, the people that watch me did something wrong. And like, I'm their assignment.
He's like, okay, we have to watch this woman with cerebral palsy. Okay, I guess I'll come to work on time.
I guess I'll come to work. And then I always get at least one person who's like, you know, my neighbor's dog has 3 legs.
Wow.
Yes. Comparisons to animals are fucking constant. Constant.
That's, people are truly the worst. Like, that's true. That's so insane. That's not my first thought ever when I meet a human being to be like, oh yeah, my dog also, you know, my dog's just like that. Like, yeah, that's, I mean, everyone, I can understand why you don't like people. Throw them away, start over.
I don't like people. That's why you meet the guy of your dreams. You go home with him and his mother goes, I'd rather see my son run over by a Mack truck than dating a cripple. And you're like,
wait, okay. Is this true?
That did happen to me in like the late 90s.
I really
wished I had a Mack truck and could have run him over and been like, are you sure? Because you can't take that one back. I'm a genie in a bottle, Shakira, Shakira.
That's truly so wild. What is dating like? So before you met your husband, what was dating like?
So Arab girls don't date, we get married. So before I met my husband, I snuck around extensively and like couldn't do anything. Not because like my father would have never harmed me in any way.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like that type of thing. It was just like I didn't want to disappoint him because he was the dopest dude ever. But I was convinced that if I did have sex before I got married, I would 100% get AIDS. And this is like when it was not treatable.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also get pregnant and I knew that pregnancy would kill me. So it was like a whole ball of like, don't open your legs, which is really stressful when you're dating in Jersey. Like,
I mean, it's like the prerequisite. It's like before you go out on a date, it's like, you're going to fuck me, right? And you're like,
no. I'm like, but the thing is, I can't feel my left arm at all. It vibrates. And if I place it in your lap, none of us are responsible. So it's consensual yet not voluntary. No. Let me tell you what dating with me is.
Okay. It's
terrifying because you have to keep up with me. So like I talk, you have to talk. Mm-hmm. And if you can't have like a dialogue, I literally will just look at someone and be like, next. And they're like, what? You know, but again, I was married for 10 whole years, 10 years. And like, my divorce was like not messy or anything. Like I got married the very next day. I was like, ooh, I'm bad at this. I don't want to hang out with anyone every day. And then like when we finally got divorced, I was like, be free. I'll dance in your wedding. I'll create a scholarship for your kid. Yeah, because he's a good egg. He's a refugee, a chef and a refugee. Ergo, a refugee.
A refugee. I love that. Yeah. Ooh, but chef, yeah, dating, though. Ooh.
Yeah. But I'm not crazy. I'm not a crazy dating person. Like I'm not the person who's like, text me every day, or like I'm the person who literally just wants to meet someone with a house in the Hamptons who only wants to hang out on Thursdays.
You honestly have a very busy Thursday. Lydia comes to wash your hair and then you'll see your boyfriend. I mean, this is a stacked fucking Thursday.
This is my person, friend. I can do whatever I want now. There are no rules.
How did you meet your husband?
I met him in a refugee camp.
Okay.
So have you ever seen the movie Dangerous Minds?
Yes.
Coolio, Gangsta Paradise. So there was this movie called Dangerous Minds. Michelle Pfeiffer goes into the hood. She saves people with poetry. Mm-hmm. So the second intifada had broken out in Palestine. Like basically like people were dying left and right. And I was like, I'm going to go to Palestine. I'm going to teach kids comedy and save their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went there and I was like, oh, this is a brutal oppression where you're being ethnically cleansed for being the wrong faith. I need love. And that's how I met my husband. I was just like, this is really intense.
You're like, this is really upsetting and depressing. Somebody please hug me.
So literally, exactly. So literally at the time we met, the Church of Nativity in Bethlehem was being bombed and they put us under 40-day curfew.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I literally need a hug. And he was like, I volunteer as tribute. And everyone was like, nah, dude, she's crazy. Step back. And he was like, nah, I can do it. And then he came to Jersey and got a food truck and live the merry life. And in the pandemic, we were like, this ain't fun. And we can't do this for 40 more years because mm-hmm. we didn't breed. And so I think you should go have kids. And I'm going to go to Ibiza.
Ooh, Ibiza.
I love dancing.
I want to go to Ibiza. It's so beautiful.
Nicole, let's go to Ibiza.
I'll go to Ibiza.
Let's get Netflix to pay for it. Some like, you know, black and white cookie in Ibiza type of shit.
Honestly, I think it'd be very funny and it'd be money well spent.
Money well spent.
Real quick, we have to take another break.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. This might be like a heavy topic for a comedy podcast, but like, I don't understand the whole Israel-Palestine thing. Is that too much to get into?
No, because it's so not complicated. It's an issue that the people who do not benefit from justice, peace, and equality framed as complicated in order to scare people from looking at what was right in front of their faces. So here's how it goes. Palestine and Israel are the exact same land. There's no separation. No separation. They're on top of each other. There's no two states. There's no borders. They're on top of each other. Now, sit with me. If you're born in Jerusalem and you're Jewish, you have full rights. Uh-huh. If you're born in Jerusalem and you're Muslim, you have no rights. If you're born in Jerusalem and you're Christian, you have no rights. This is literally an issue of supremacy. One religion is given full rights. The other religions are given no rights. And those people, Palestinian Christians, Muslims, atheists, are told, listen, we're going to give you no rights. We're going to steal your land. We're going to throw you in jail whenever we want. We're going to control your water, electricity, your freedom of worship. And if you throw a slipper at us, we will bomb you into the last millennium and scream self-defense. So literally, the solution to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict is one state with equal rights, regardless of faith. And the idea that the Jewish population would be threatened by equality is bigoted and hateful. Equality protects all faiths. Israel could still be a safe haven for any Jewish person worldwide who wanted to come back while giving equal rights to the native population who are not Jewish. You cannot expect a people who are not allowed to literally breathe to not fight for freedom. I believe in nonviolence. I condemn the killing of children by anyone at any time. But in the last incursion, 9 entire families in Gaza were wiped off the registry. Not a single person exists anymore from those families. What would you do?
I'd be real fucking mad. I mean, like the way you break it down, it's confusing because I'm like, yeah, stop killing people. Just like let everyone be equal.
But wait, there's another little thing that no one ever tells you. Palestinians clean Israeli houses. We work in their cafeterias. They have absolutely no problem having Palestinians as cheap labor. 2, no matter how hard the powers that be try, Palestinians and Israelis are fucking, you can't separate generations, right? Mm-hmm. So like, just like they tried to separate black and white people, you cannot stop people from like loving who they love. Mm-hmm. So we're okay to be your labor force. We're okay to be the person you sleep with, but we don't deserve equal rights. Sounds like Jim Crow and apartheid to me.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds exactly like what that is. It's just,
I spent months in America with every scientist going on TV touting Israel's amazing vaccinations and ignoring the fact that they were denying Palestinians access to vaccinations.
Oh, like, God.
Medical apartheid, that you hear nothing, you know. And then we talk about me never being on TV. During the last invasion, I pitched myself to every single network that I go on for 8 million other things, like to talk about bullying, the Mets, Roseanne Barr, whatever. And I was like, hey, I'm a Palestinian American. I want to go on and talk about like how dehumanizing the rhetoric from the government is. And like, nobody answered my calls.
Yeah, it's such like a weird, touchy subject where people have some real hard opinions. But like, honestly, like my opinion is just like, I don't know. Everyone should just be like equal. Why kill people? People in charge are all fucked up. I think everywhere. Like if you
and
like
Judaism is not to blame for Israeli policies. It's not. And I tell people, I know it's confusing that when every person of the group harming you is one faith, to understand that not that whole faith is bad. I get that that's hard, but Judaism is not Israel. You know, Christianity is not evangelicals. Mm-hmm. Scientology is fucking weird. I feel bad. Mormons are hot. I'm okay being baptized after I'm dead. I'm fine with that.
Scientology is fucking weird.
I feel bad saying that.
No, it is. I like... went to the Scientology Center in Times Square. This was years ago. And this lady was like smiling and laughing. And she was like, do you like to smile and laugh? And I was like, I sure do. And then she was like, follow me. And my roommate was like, we're not following this woman. And I was like, we're going on an adventure.
Fuck yeah.
So they like showed us this video that was like, what happens in your past affects your future. And I was 22 or whatever. And I said, oh my God. That's right. What happens in your past affects your future. These people are geniuses.
Geniuses.
Then they were like, buy this book. And I was like, I don't have any money. And they're like, who has money? Who pays for you to live in New York? I'm like, well, my daddy. My daddy sometimes gives me money. They're like, call your dad. So I called my dad. I was like, Dad, can I buy this Dianetics book?
They were like, call your dad? Yeah. No, shut the fuck up. Really?
Uh-huh. So I called my dad. I was like, can I buy this Dianetics book? And he was like, what's Dianetics? And then my sister was in the background going, no, it's a cult. And then I didn't buy Dianetics. I bought a book called The Problems with Work because I was unemployed at the time. And my dad was like, ask them if they can help you find a job. And I was like, okay. I was like, can you help me with a job? And they're like, we can buy this book, The Problems with Work. And then everything in the book was just written so weirdly. Like instead of writing, I went to the store. It was like, I needed things. So then I went because the place had the things that I needed. A store it was called. And you're like, wait, what? So I just like kept rereading and I was like, what is happening? I was like, I don't understand this.
And then, give up.
I didn't give up, but I did give up after like one chapter and then later saw on TV, it was like Scientology's like a cult and the leader's wife is gone and nobody seems to know where she's at.
Yeah.
And nobody's ever going to look for her.
Miss Gimmage. Let me ask you this. What job did you get after that?
What job did I get? Oh, I was a waitress. So I just started working at this place called Pernima. It's on 54th between 8th and Broadway. And it was an Indian restaurant / cabaret room / Irish bar.
Nice.
And I was a very bad server.
Oh, because that was my hood, that Times Square hood. I hung out on 46 between 8th and 9th at Marlowe's and then the Hourglass. And because, you know, I was like Caroline's adjacent.
Mm-hmm. I've never performed at Caroline's.
I went to comedy school at Caroline's, but now Gotham is my club. And actually next week I'm at the comic strip.
Ooh.
Just in peace, Richie.
Oh,
I hate it. I loved Richie so much. Richie was the legend of the comedy show. Oh,
yeah.
That breaks my comedy heart.
I do a lot of alt rooms. I don't really do a lot of clubs like when I'm in New York and then in LA.
I'm too lazy for alt rooms. Because I do 200 shows a year on the road. Uh-huh. So when I come home, I just want like my sure thing. I'm like, Christmas Ellie, put me on stage.
200 shows a year is so many.
That's so many. So many. Like at one point I had like 1 million miles on United. Damn. And they were like, you get a black card to take you to the airport. And I was like, I'm Palestinian and I'm not falling for that shit.
You're going to fucking take me somewhere.
Of course I am. At some point, I'm getting disappeared. Like, at some point, somebody's taking me out. If Trump had gotten a second term, I would be in the deepest internment camp in history. I would literally be the dude from Life is Beautiful, just making people laugh until I take a bullet. We are not laughing at that time period.
No.
Just at the fact that this country got so damn close and we're not that far.
Mm-hmm. I think it's truly wild though that you literally were like, I'm not laughing at that time period. And it's like, people, they really do like to get mad over every little joke sometimes.
And especially because I am who I am, it's interpreted differently. So I have to be careful. And by that, I mean a huge Bon Jovi fan.
Bon Jovi's so fucking hot. I didn't realize how hot he was.
He's so hot. I was on an Amtrak train.
Oh.
And I'm leaving the train in Washington Union Station. Mm-hmm. And he's getting on the train. And I literally just like ate my tongue and couldn't say anything. He was so ridiculously beautiful in real life. But there's one person who is the most beautiful person I've ever laid eyes on. So I really lucked out. I got invited to this like fancy schmancy artist retreat in the Ojai Mountains in California.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael B. Jordan was there.
I sat across
from him for 12 entire minutes, and I could not introduce myself. And I am old enough to be his mother's mother. And I literally just like, he was effervescent. He was angelic. I've never seen a more beautiful human being. And Jamie Foxx was right next to him.
Jamie Foxx is also pretty attractive.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Jamie Foxx is a slice of delicious, and I couldn't even see him anymore. He was just like a blurred out background to like this glowing. And I never introduced myself. Never. I could not get a single word out.
I mean, that could have been your man. That could have been your man with the house in the Hamptons.
No.
It could have been.
No. Women out there, be healthy. No, you're lame. Michael B. Jordan ain't going for half a century shaky bakey. Palestinian doesn't really know how to have sex because she only slept with one guy, but she's willing to try. That's not happening. You got to be realistic.
Women out there, be healthy is the funniest thing to say to people. The ladies out there, you just got to be healthy.
You got to be healthy. You got to know. You're not getting Michael B. Jordan. You might get Michael Jordan. No, I'm kidding.
Oh my God. I'm so horny.
Who's your dream guy?
Honestly, Michael B. Jordan, I think, is my dream guy. Like, he's so hot.
It's just a given. Yeah. You know who else I love?
Who?
I love David Diggs.
Oh my God, he's so hot. He's also so laid back. I watched this like entire Architectural Digest thing where him and his wife were like showing off their home. It was kind of boring, but I was like, I just really like looking at him. Yeah. I think he's so hot.
And his voice is just so smooth.
It's like, so
and he
good.
Hangs out with Muppets.
Mm-hmm. I also like Anthony Ramos. I got to see In the
really?
Heights early. Thank you.
Okay.
You don't think so? He's got such pretty eyes.
I just always hear him in Shallow just being like, go, Allie!
I mean, yeah, but when you see In the Heights, you'll get what I'm saying. Like,
who is your first crush? Your
Vin
first
Diesel.
TV. What?
Vin Diesel. Well, actually, no. My very, very first one was Patrick Swayze. And then I graduated to Vin Diesel.
In which movie?
Ghost. So I loved him in Ghost. Yeah. I loved him in Point Break. I just, oh, God, he's so hot. Or he was so hot.
He was so hot.
Who was your first crush?
Almanza Wilder from Little House on the Prairie. By Dean Butler. Yeah.
I like, that's a good one.
He was my first crush. I'm not plugging my book to be silly, but there's an entire chapter in my book about like my choices of who I had crushes on television reflected like my bad choices in general in life. Because like the next person I liked was a guy named John Eric Hexum, and he was on a show called Cover Girl, and he accidentally shot his head off with a stage prop.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So
wow.
That was my second crush.
Okay.
And then I went straight to Kurt Cobain. And now I'm more of a David Diggs. So I had a very long white stage before I veered off. Yeah. And I'm in love with a boy who doesn't love me back in that way, but is my very best friend. It's horrible.
I'm always in love with men who don't love me back.
But he loves me, but not in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I have so many male friends that I'm pretty sure love me in a non-sexual way, but I'm like, come
so what
on.
What is that? Like, what is that? Because I have the mailbox full of people who are real people, not just like guy from Saudi who's like, marry on me. But like, what is that? Like, everything is perfect, but you're not. What is that?
I guess it's like they don't feel a spark or something. Like they like being like my old roommate. I love him. I could never fuck him. And I think he feels the same way about me, but he's also a homosexual. So
no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those guys that you hang out with. You have like the best time ever. They tell you all of their shit. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, I met a girl named Susie. And you're like, what just happened?
Maybe it's like you know too much about them. So then they're with Susie and they don't tell Susie everything.
Right.
You're their confidant. But then like Susie's the one that like, I don't know, takes care of their dicks. I don't know.
Yeah.
It is weird.
It's weird. That one I haven't figured out. Because I keep reading, Why Won't You Date Me? There's like a screen that we're looking at. And I'm like, since I told her it's not hard for me again. So my advice for people who do want to date.
Yeah, give me some advice.
Speed dating. Nothing but speed dating. Fuck all the online shit. Speed date. You see what they look like in real life. What you do is you sign up for speed dating. They put like 10 girls, 10, yeah, well, whatever. We're not going to gender this, but 10 people on each side. You get 2 minutes to talk to each person. Then you move on to the next seat. At the end of the night, they say who they want to see again. You see who you want to see again. If you match up, you can go out with that person. And what's cool about it is you see them. So like all the shit that like if you connect with, and this is just because I'm like a yenta and I think at some point I'm going to be like the $1 million cripple matchmaker where like I make disco dreams come true. But like if they see you and they know you, all that shit is taken away. It's like, this is who I am. You have 2 minutes to impress me. What you got? Mm-hmm. It's the best way to do it.
Wait, have you ever speed dated?
I've run speed dating tournaments and I've had 4 couples get married, have children, and are still married today.
maybe I gotta fucking do some speed dating.
But you gotta do it right. Like, don't go to like a county fair. Like, okay. pay the $200 or $300 fee. Yeah.
$200 or $300.
Like, yeah, but if you're going out to dinner, if you're going out to dinner, a really good date.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really good date. You're going to be spending $150. And then maybe on your look, you're adding another $20. Going out with 10 people in one night.
So honestly, economically, it's better.
It's an investment. And it cuts through all the bullshit of the online stuff.
All right. I mean, that's good advice.
And then the third or fourth question, if you're doing this with a guy, third or fourth question, you just go, how's the missus? Because they'll answer if they're married, even though they don't want to.
Oh, my God. You're fucking sneaky.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm smooth.
Well, Maysoon, this was delightful. Thank you so much for doing this. We've come to the end. I usually ask all my guests this. Would you date me?
Oh, my God. Seriously, 100% I would. You're super, super entertaining. For real.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Do you have anything you want to promote? Yeah, tell people your book.
Yes, yes, yes. So my book is called Find Another Dream. Basically, if your dream turns into a nightmare, find another dream. It's on Audible. But if you're deaf, there's a PDF, so you can also read it. And then I'm maysoon.com. Like, the month of May is coming soon, maysoon.com. It's got my Instagram. It's got my cat Beyonce's, you know, pictures. It's got my tour dates. If you forget how to spell Maysoon, Palsy Palestinian, I'm the first one that comes up. And yeah, please stay tuned for my Scholastic comic book that is coming out. It's going to be amazing.
Thank you so much for doing this, Maysoon.
Thank you, Nicole. Thank you.
Okay. If you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can rate it, review it, subscribe, I don't know, on Apple Podcasts. If you send me something nasty hitting on me, I will read it. Okay. Three long fingers will burrow up into your gushy folds as I sink a hand into you like I'm exploring a bouncy castle on ecstasy and feel your heartbeat ricochet down my arm. Your pussy will drip like an overwhelmed AC unit in Miami. Put that dimpled velvety ass in the air so I can pop my cock into it like a porky pig at the end of a Looney Tunes and then carve you up like an industrial corn thresher. Well, thank you. That one was interesting. Okay, bye-bye. That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.